Currently known as the Advent season, I have been considering the question, who is he? Taking that question from the well-known hymn, who is he in yonder stall, to speak the shepherd's fall? And over this month, we have looked at various names of the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, son of Joseph, son of God. Today, I want us to look both this morning and this evening at one verse that was taken from our reading, and that is Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6. We will in fact be looking at different parts of the Christmas story, but in Matthew 2 and verse 6 we are given two particular names that I want us to focus on. Well, one is a name and the other is an action from which we get a name. So Matthew 2 and verse 6 says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So we have got the one word, ruler. And Jesus, the Son of God, is a ruler. The second word that I want us to look at primarily this afternoon is the action from which we get the word a shepherd. So a shepherd shepherds his sheep. Who will shepherd my people Israel? But this morning we're going to focus on this word that Jesus is a ruler. Who is he? He is a ruler, the one who rules God's people. This verse, in its context, is part of the conversation that was going on between King Herod and the wise men. The wise men have come from the east, and they have come seeking the king. They have come seeking the one who has been born king of the Jews. In fact, their question to Herod when they arrive at the palace in Jerusalem is, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" And Herod is not able to answer that question, but he contacts his religious leaders and he asks them, "Where is it that the king of the Jews is supposed to be born?" And this verse 6 is a quotation from one of the Old Testament prophets, a man called Micah. Now, he had lived something like 750 to 700 years before Christ. He would have lived and would have preached at a similar time to Isaiah. He was living and preaching at a time when the great nation of Israel, which had known prestige and power during the reigns of David and Solomon, when it was falling into decline, it had already divided and split amongst itself, being split into two separate nations of Israel and Judah. But the end had not yet come. The temple had not yet been destroyed. The people had not yet been taken into exile. But they could see that they were on the way down. And it seemed that there was no hope. And yet, in this dark and difficult time, the promise comes, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And God was giving his people hope. And we thank God for this, that even when we're going through times like we are at the moment, where Christianity is far from popular, when the teaching of the Bible is spurned, God gives us hope. He says, "I've not forgotten you. I am not defeated. I am working my purposes out." And God says, from you shall come a ruler. Now the word that is translated ruler here literally means to lead. One who goes before. And that is the essence of a leader. It is someone who goes before. They don't just stand back and say, you go and do this. But a leader, a ruler, goes before. And to be a leader, we have to at times give commands. We have to exercise authority. And this is what the wise men, the religious leaders, the wise men of Israel, as it were saying, that Micah has said that the child, the king of the Jews, will in fact be a ruler. And this morning, I want us to consider what this means. To consider what it meant at that time, and to consider what it means today. If Jesus, the Son of God, is ruler, what does it mean for us? Well, the first thing that I want us to see this morning is that he rules the world. We sang that earlier. He rules the world with truth and grace. And we see that in the Christmas story. Although Jesus was a baby, helpless, and having to be cared for by his mother, yet he was still the Son of God. He was still cooperating with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And the power of God was seen in this story. God rules the world in governments. Now, don't worry about looking this up, because you probably know the stories well enough. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was ruling in the Roman government. In Luke chapter 2, we are told that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And that seems a political statement. But when you read the full impact of that, that actually meant that Joseph, who was living in Nazareth, had to leave the town of Nazareth because this edict said that you've got to go back to your roots. You've got to go back to the place from which your family comes. And therefore, God used the Roman government to get Joseph and his betrothed wife, Mary, back to Bethlehem in order to fulfill the promise that was made through the prophet Micah 700 years before. So God ruled at that stage in the Roman government. God ruled also through the Roman governor. And by this I mean King Herod, the one who was in charge in Judah and in Judea. And when Herod heard that the king of the Jews had been born, sadly this man suffered from a condition called paranoia. He thought that everybody was against him, and he thought that this child would be the means of him being killed or put off his throne. And therefore, in the story that we read this morning, Herod heard this. If we'd read on a little bit further, in verses 13 to 15, we would have heard that Herod wanted to kill the baby Jesus. And therefore, God said to Joseph, take this child and go to Egypt. Why? Because God said that he would call his son out of Egypt. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. How would he call his son out of Egypt when he didn't live there? Well, he used the paranoia of a government official in order for his family to go to Egypt and in order for God's purposes to be worked out. So he ruled in the Roman government. he ruled in the Roman governor. But God also rules in the angels that he sent to give the message. When I was speaking to the children this morning, I was speaking about the message of the angels. Why did the angels come that particular night? They came because they came with a message from God. The word angel literally means a messenger. And the angels are God's messengers. They didn't come to the religious leaders. They didn't come to the government leaders that we were talking about a few moments ago. They came to the shepherds. Common or garden people. We'd call them today blue-collar workers or manual workers. People who were rejected by many in society. They didn't want anything to do them with them. When the shepherds came into town, they would say, make sure your doors are locked. Lock up all your valuables. Lock up anyone that you appreciate because the shepherds are around. But who is it to whom God sends the message? He sends his angels to the shepherds. The angels come under the rule and the authority of God. But think of the story of the wise men. We have looked at the way God works in human authority and in the authorities in heaven. But the wise men came because they had seen the star that had arisen. This event in astronomy. What does it say? It says that God rules in what we would describe as the things of nature. God rules in the universe. There are many, many wonderful things in the heavens above. Do they just happen by accident? We hear scientists saying this star has burnt out. This one, or these stars are coming into line. Why? Is this all an accident? No. This is all to fulfill God's purpose. Because God rules. Night follows day. Day follows night. Winter follows autumn. And spring follows winter. Why? Because the God that we worship rules in the forces of nature. He rules in order to welcome all classes of people. And I mentioned again the shepherds. I've already touched on this, that people who were despised and cast off, God was saying, you're welcome. The shepherds themselves, because of the way people spoke about them, may have thought, who am I? Who cares about me? The ruler of the universe says, I have got a message for you. And maybe that's you this morning. You've come and you've thought, who cares about me? Will they notice that I am here? Yes, God notices. And God sent his message to the shepherds because he wanted them to hear. But what about the wise men? If they had tried to go to the temple and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, they would have got through the first door, but then the temple guards would have been there and they'd have said, sorry, gentlemen, you may be rich, you may be intelligent, you may be well-dressed, you may be able to speak many languages, but you cannot come any further. This is the court of the Gentiles. If you cross that threshold, you will be into the court of Israel, and you're not allowed in there. But even Israel, there was a part of the temple that was the Holy of Holies, and it was only the priest who was able to go in there. But God rules. And God said to these wise men, I want you to go to Bethlehem. I want you to see the child. And I give to you the freedom to bow down and to worship. You will not be stopped. And that is the message that the ruler of the universe, the Savior of the universe, gives today to everybody. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me if you feel down and out and rejected by society. Come to me if you feel fully satisfied and feel that you have got all the answers. Come to me and I will show you that you can have all the answers, but you won't have them yourself. You will only have them as you come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The religious leaders said to the wise men, from you shall come a ruler. He is a ruler who rules in the world throughout history. Secondly, he is the ruler who rules in the church today. What does this mean for us? That God rules in government and in government leaders, that he rules with the heavens, that he rules in the forces of nature. What does it mean for us? Well, in the previous chapter, in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph, the husband of Mary, was told that Jesus would be a Savior. And that is why Jesus has come. Jesus has come to save. He has come to save those who are dejected and feel rejected. He has come to save those who, with all of their wealth and their education, know that there is something missing. Jesus has come to save his people. And this is what Joseph was told. He was told to call Jesus, or call the baby Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. But friends, I have to tell you this morning that not only will he save, but he is the only one who can save. Because he is the only one with the authority that I've spoken about in heaven and on earth. And there is salvation in no other. But friends, he's more than a savior. I've known people over the years who wanted to say, yes, Jesus is my savior, but I want to live as I want to live. But I want you to hear this morning, friends, that he is a ruler. He is the one who has gone before us. He is the one who gives us the instructions in life. He is the one who, when he spoke to his disciples when he was here on earth, said to them, follow me. He didn't say, come into my classroom and live as I teach you to live. No, he said, follow me and you will learn how to live. You will understand the truth of what I will teach you in classes, because he is the one who has gone before us. But there came a time in his life when Jesus said to his disciples, okay, you followed me. Now, I want you to go out and I want you to preach the message. Again, I was speaking to the children about this morning. These shepherds, they had only come and seen the baby Jesus, but they were enlisted. And they went out and they preached the truth. But there came a time in the life of the disciples of Jesus, and he said to them to go out. This wasn't the final time he said it when he went back to heaven, but while he was here on earth. And he said to them, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying. And I just want to use this as an example of how Jesus leads in our lives, how Jesus rules in our lives. These disciples were sent out. There was a direct command of God. And God has got a purpose in the lives of each of us. And we have to listen to Him through His Word. We have listened to Him through His Spirit. And we're told that He gave them instructions. Jesus set the rules. We don't make up the rules as we go along. We live in a society which says, if it works for you, that's fine. But don't expect me to do that. Friends, that is a fallacy. That is ludicrous. That is self-destructive. And I can assure you that if our culture continues to live in that way, we will destroy ourselves. Because Jesus set the rules. He instructed them as to what they were to teach and where they were to go. He set the limits. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans. Now this was a conditional limit. It was only for a set period. Jesus was still preparing his disciples. But when he went back to heaven, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But friends, God may set limits in your life. He may say to you, I want you to do this. Maybe I'll give you an example from my missionary experience. God called Linda myself to serve him in Papua New Guinea. And I remember a young woman coming to me after one of the meetings at which we had spoken. And she said to me, I believe God has called me to be a missionary. And I thought, yippee, another missionary for Papua New Guinea. I believe God wants me to go to Turkey. I thought, what? And thank God, she is still serving him in Turkey. But God set the limits for us. We were to go to Papua New Guinea. But for that young woman, she was to go to Turkey. And again, returning to the example that the Lord gives here, he gave his disciples a clear focus. While he was preparing them, they were to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now God may call us to go to other people. I believe our primary place of witness is here in Newport. But we have sent people to China. We have sent people to Brazil. People have gone to Malaysia and they've come back. People have gone to Africa and they have come back. God gives us a clear focus. But the method is unchanging. Proclaim as you go, saying, we are to tell people. We are to say, this is the Christian message. So this ruler rules in the world. He rules in the church. But as I draw to a conclusion this morning, I've got a question for you. Who rules you? Who rules you? How will you respond to this ruler? How will you respond to the babe of Bethlehem, who today is known as the King of Kings? The average human response is summarized in one of the stories that Jesus told, where he said, the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. And there are many people in our world today, particularly within our own culture, and they say, we don't want anything to do with the church. Yes, we're Christians, but we don't want to come to church. Yes, we're Christians, but we don't want to read the Bible. Well, again, I'd go back to the Bible, to a verse in the Old Testament. And it says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. And I want to say to you this morning, be reasonable. Think about it. If he rules, in government, if he rules in government leaders, if he reigns in heaven and he sends the angels, if he can control the stars, if he is able to speak to the simplest shepherds and the wisest scholars of the known world, do you have greater power? Do you have greater understanding? Are you able today to change the slightest thing in this world of so-called nature? The answer is no. But this ruler welcomes all types of people. If we will come to him and we will trust him as our Saviour and live in obedience to him is as our Lord, then we will know the promise of peace on earth and goodwill amongst men. Jesus, friends, this morning is the ruler. He's also the Saviour. He does rule, and he will rule, but he will only save if you call on him and ask him to save you. Herod hated him and died. The priests who could give the answers ignored him, and we know nothing more about them. But the wise men worshipped him. The shepherds worshipped him, and they were saved. He is not only the ruler of his people, but he is the Saviour of his people. Will you come to the Saviour this morning and trust him? Amen. Before we come to the communion table,